let's make sure. One, two, three, four, five, six,
seven,
eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. All right. The November. Pardon. Oh, okay.
I just turned it off.
That's why. Hello? Hello. Okay. This is November 19th, 2016. It is 11:30 something or other, and this is the KPFA LSB is now in session for the for November. Okay, where's my agenda? Where's my agenda? Okay, roll call. Excuse of absent members, and just want to say that I just want to say that we have two new members at this meeting, although one of them was zooming in, and my computer has some sort of weird blocking just on Zoom. It's very peculiar, but it's what it is. But we have a quorum here. Brian Edwards Teekert had resigned, and Lewis Sawyer had agreed to be on, and he was on the call, and Yuri had taken Leland's seat, and so Craig.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Before I begin with the roll call for this meeting, I just want to note that people are reasonably asking questions about who the incoming board is. And I have to do a little homework here to update my roster and lists and so forth, and I pledge to do that in the next week or two. And I'll circulate it to the board so that we can put our collective minds together to clarify who's leaving, who's coming, and get ready for the new year and the new political environment. Okay, so let's go on through the list. And Adams?
Present.
Adams is here. Okay. Alderson, I am here. Campisi?
Here.
Campisi is here. Fest?
Here.
Fest is here. Fuentes is not here. Let me ask, by the way, Jose Luis Fuentes and Frank Sterling both notified me in advance that they would not be here. Is there anybody else who people noticed? Okay, I think it was only those two. So Fuentes is not here. Let's see. Futrin.
Here.
Futrin is here. Gottesman?
Here.
Yuri Gottesman is here. Hello. Goen. Goen is not here.
She emailed me. She was on trying to get on.
She was trying to connect remotely, and that has failed.
Just make a note somehow.
Well, okay. And Hernandez. Is not here. Jacobs.
Here.
Jacobs is here. Coburn.
Present.
Coburn is here. David Lynch. And David Lynch is not.
He was telling me he's on Zoom.
Hernandez. Right, but they're not here. Right.
I know, but just make a
mark. Yes, I'm making a mark here. Tim Lynch.
Here.
Tim Lynch is here. Moore.
Present.
Moore is here. Morgan. Morgan is not here. Olson. May have been trying remotely. Olson is not here. Sawyer, same thing. Sawyer is not here. Tried remote connection. Scruggs.
Same thing.
Scruggs is not here. Trying to connect remotely. Sterling is absent. Tao Nichols is not here. Travis?
Here.
Travis is here. Whipperman?
Here.
Whipperman is here. White?
Here.
White is here. Wilkinson?
Here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers? Withers is not here, possibly remote. Okay, and I'll note that Quincy McCoy is here. That's 14 present, 13 is a quorum, so we're in business.
Tim?
I'd like to move that everyone that's not here get an excused absence, because I know most they were trying to Zoom in.
Second. Okay. All in favor, please raise your hands. Okay. That's no votes, abstentions, one abstention. Okay. The agenda. The agenda we have here is printed. There was one thing that is misstated. That is number 9. Recess as LSB, convene as delegate assembly. We don't have to do that for the crisis in Pacifica. So the 13 and 12 should be switched. Okay? So with that clarification about how this works, do I have a motion to accept the agenda with that clarification?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
On discussion. Janet.
Okay, so two things. One, there's no PNB report, so I move to amend the agenda to add a PNB report after the treasurer's report.
Is there a second? How about after crisis in Pacifica? Is that friendly?
No.
It's not friendly. Okay. Does your second stand?
Yes.
Okay.
So my amendment is to place it after the crisis in Pacifica discussion. So it would be point 12A, I guess. The PNB report.
Second.
Or 3, 13, or whatever. Janet.
So as far as I'm concerned, my report is very short, and it's probably not even controversial. So that's why, you know, I thought you guys would want to know what's what has happened on the PNB. And I'm not even sure whether we would get to, you know, depending on what happens with the discussion on the item 12, crisis in Pacifica. I don't know if it would reach that.
Okay. So, all right. So let's vote on the amendment and see if we'll put it, leave it like you had it or not. So there was a second on the amendment. Was that right? Okay. So all those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hands. What? The amendment is to put it after the crisis in Pacifica. The number is not relevant. Okay. Is all those in favor, please raise your hand. Nine. All those opposed? I'll vote. I'm not supposed to vote. Okay. So it passes.
How many opposed?
Three. 9 yes, 3 no.
Okay. Are you motivating your? Okay. Are we? We got to vote on the main motion. Did you want to talk on that? No. Okay. All those in favor of the amended motion, that is that this be added after the crisis in Pacifica discussion, please raise your hand. Any no's? One no. Any abstentions? No. Okay. So, Janet and then Joy.
So I have another amendment, proposed amendment to agenda amendment to either, well, to move the bylaws. The bylaws amendments, it's a time sensitive matter, and if it's not reached at this meeting, this body would not have fulfilled its responsibility. So I would have at least that a time certain. I mean, it was voted that the delegate assembly.
What's the time certain? Why don't you name a time certain?
I don't know. Suggestions?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Okay. So that's. Is there a second? There's a second. Okay. All of those in favor of that, please raise your hands. Okay, 8-4 against.
I have a point of personal
microphone. 5 no. So it's approved. You have a point of personal privilege?
I'd like to ask.
You've got to use your microphone.
I want to ask.
It's not on.
I want to ask the engineer if you can lower the volume a little bit. It seems kind of, it's piercing, at least to my ears. Thank you.
I can barely hear. Okay, wait a minute. We still haven't approved the agenda. That was approved in terms of a amendment to the agenda. Joy, you've got to use a microphone. We're doing the best we can.
I'd like to suggest that for the crisis in Pacifica discussion or item, that we suspend the Roberts Rules of Order with an agreement of community agreements to be respectful of each other. Robert Rules of Order just gets in the way, although Brian's not here. So it might not.
So it wouldn't be as bad.
I would like to make an amendment that we suspend the rules of Roberts Rules of Order for the crisis in Pacifica item.
Okay, second. Okay. All right.
Roberta's rules.
Wait. Sharon, on discussion?
I support that, but if we're going to do that, I would suggest that we have timed shares so that if we're going to suspend the rules, which I agree with, we have timed shares so that people speak for a minute and a half as part of the procedure.
I would like for clarification on that. I have a major report to give as part of opening that discussion, and it will not be a minute and a half.
That's what the report is different.
Okay. All right. Just clarification so we're all clear. All right. Wait, we've got to vote on that. Janet has a point of information.
Could somebody explain what that discussion would look like with the rules suspended?
No.
I mean, in terms of how would it be different than the regular discussion?
It will be that I wouldn't rule you out of order, like maybe I'll do now. Okay. So let's have a vote on this. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Okay, opposed. Abstentions.
Of course.
Okay. Can we now vote on the the vote is that it won.
11 yes. It was 11 yes, 1 no, 1 abstention.
Anthony.
I wonder if we can go till 1 on procedure before we start the meeting.
Go ahead.
I just note that our agenda page has a mistake in it. It says November 10th.
Well, the announcement of the meeting wasn't wrong. Okay. We now have an agenda as amended that has a time certain for the bylaw amendments at 1 o'clock. It has the Well, we suspended the rules for the crisis in Pacifica, but there was another thing that was... We switched the order of 12 and 13, and I think that's it. Is that right?
PNB report is after.
PNB
report is after the crisis in Pacifica. All right. That's the agenda we are now voting on. All in favor of accepting the agenda as amended, please raise your hand.
Yes.
Opposed.
One no.
Abstentions.
No abstentions.
Okay. Moving right along, minutes. I think what we have is the August minutes.
No,
we have the August and the September minutes. I didn't notice the September minutes. Okay, so let's do them one at a time. Margie?
I just want to volunteer to be the timekeeper.
Okay.
And my understanding is that speakers get 90 seconds, right?
Is that where we are? It's
3 minutes. Two
it's
minutes?
3 minutes.
3 minutes, I'm sorry.
3 minutes, okay. Yeah. Okay. Janet? Mike? This is going to be such a drag.
So I just wanted to disclose that given that the recording for this meeting is sort of uncertain or whatever. Or
no, there's no the recording is fine.
Okay. Well, I hope it works. But
it does work.
I'm just saying I'm recording it as a backup also.
Okay. But the recording is fine. The issue is that for some peculiar reason, this time my computer would not let me go to the Zoom page to sign in. So the Zoom was blocked. And I feel like I was hacked. But you also tried? Okay. All right. Well, I got into everything else. Okay. Okay. All right. So now we are on the minutes. Can I have a motion on the August minutes, please? You guys over there, Mike? Okay. And I moved and seconded. All right. Now, these we had time to read, I know, and maybe everybody had time to read the other. But do you want more time or do you want to move? Questions for you. Does anybody want more time? Okay, I guess I did. Okay, but I don't vote unless it's tied, so who cares? All right. We have a motion to approve them. All in favor of approving the minutes as... Oh, we have... No, we haven't passed the minutes. Okay, all those in favor of approving the minutes as read, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
August. Opposed. Abstention? One abstention. Okay. All right. September. We're on the September minutes. Is there a move to accept the minutes? They're in front of you. So here's the September minutes. I've got to get a motion unless you're moving it. Okay. Well, there's no discussion until we... Okay. So they're moved and seconded. Anthony, give him a microphone. Feist.
Anthony, give him a minute.
Oh, okay. Slight correction to those September minutes on item 3, where it says I moved to amend the agenda to add discussion of electing rep to replace Brian Edward Steakert on PNB. I moved to make that an action item to hold that vote then, not to discuss it. So that's my correction.
Okay.
He's got it.
He's the secretary. Don't worry about it. Are there any other discussion or corrections? Seeing none, All those in favor of accepting the minutes as corrected, please raise your hands. Noes? Abstentions? One abstention. Everybody else voted yes. Okay.
You know, I'm sorry. I found a typo.
That's a typo. Okay. All right. Announcements. Margie?
So I just want to let people know that we've elected in Berkeley a new progressive majority to the city council. However, the people currently in charge of our city are continuing to treat a homeless encampment, which has been moved several times from one place to another, with just terribly. These people are rousted out at 5 o'clock in the morning. They are told to go across the street or be subject to arrest. They lose their possessions. And this Friday morning, they were awoken at 1 o'clock in the morning and forced to move. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, the police and some city workers came back and told them to move across the street and then hose down the area where they had been sitting in line so that it was wet and unusable for them. I'm talking calmly now, but it just puts me in a terrible rage that our city is doing this. The new progressive majority on the city council has pledged to do something about it as soon as they are seated on December 5th, but in the meantime, the current majority on the council appears to totally support these actions by the police and by members, city employees. I urge everyone here who is a resident in Berkeley to send a message. You can email them, council@berkeley.info. That's all you need. And it goes to every member of the city council. The city manager is manager@berkeley.info. And please go by the homeless encampment. You will find them there somewhere around City Hall. They'll be near Provo Park or across the street. They're allowed to use the shelter at the post office under the overhang when it rains, although they can't be there when it's not raining. Don't ask me. It's so insane. But I really go by and talk to them. They're real people that you can talk to them. They are not crazy or weird. They're people who have no place to live. The city provides them with no place to live and yet constantly moves them and harasses them. The city is apparently, according to Vice Mayor Linda Mayo, is looking for a place where they will have a city-approved space for an encampment, but I don't know how long that's going to take. And meanwhile, the police and the city manager's office is behaving in a way that is just reprehensible. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Barb?
I want to add to Margie's thing. They have begun to recamp at Gilman and the freeway again, too.
Okay, any other announcements? Okay, seeing none. Oh, we got a fascist president. I'll announce that.
Yeah.
Okay. And, yeah. Public comments. Daniel Bergstrom is first. Can Margie, can you give Daniel your microphone?
How many minutes?
Three.
Well, I think it's actually more than that because we have a half an hour of public comment, and there are one. Okay, because we're a half hour behind. But, well, go ahead. Is that on?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. My name is Daniel Borgstrom, and I understand that a bunch of proposals are on the table today. Let me go back and talk about what I would like to see in Pacifica, and KPFA is why this is important. What is the mission? What are we saying? And what I have to say, I think should go without saying. It should not even have to be mentioned, except that it does. Here's why. Recently, I hear a lot of progressives talking about, humanitarian intervention positively, they're talking about, and also pushing Russia, a nuclear power, which could result in a nuclear face-off. And we should know what that's about. These are things that, well, let me go back about 50 years and say that I was 4 years in the Marine Corps. This was during the Kennedy era. In 1961, I believe it was, there was this thing with Cuba. We thought we were going to be sent to Cuba. And we were all raring to go. I got to admit that. I thought very differently then, you know. And there wasn't enough war to go around, not enough for everybody, you know, shortage of war. We wanted to go. But fortunately, we had a very courageous president who said no. And so I did not see Cuba. Another thing I did not see in that time was a nuclear war. It came very close to it the following year. We may remember that. And a lot of people understand what that could be. But it seems to have been forgotten. And now jump to the present. By the way, this Cuban thing in modern today's terminology would be a humanitarian intervention, I suppose it would be called, humanitarian imperialism. Well, the thing is that I hear talk of such stuff, promoting it, even on KPFA today, sometimes. I have heard it. And a lot of other progressives are pushing it. And what I want to say is that KPFA Pacifica has to oppose these things. We cannot allow this. And if the result of of these crisis compromises or plans were to be something that would allow promotion of such stuff, it would not be worth doing. We have to oppose humanitarian intervention, confrontations with nuclear-armed Russia, things of that nature. And it should go without saying, but it has to be said. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carol Wolfley.
Thanks, everybody. I got to set up my office over there in the corner. Thank you, Margie, for talking about First They Came for the Homeless and their work. And I want to say what great coverage there has been on KPFA about the situation in Berkeley with the homeless people, and particularly Corinne Smith, who is an intern or who works with the news department, who has been going to different protests and events at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, showing up. And also, Eileen Alfandari ran from the station at 7 o'clock in the morning over to cover one of the stories of one of the raids. So I think this kind of news is what we really need. And also Kat Brooks' work of covering the protests in Oakland from the perspective of the people on the ground instead of the Associated Press minimizing and discrediting what the people are trying to say. So I appreciate those. And one of the things that I want to work on is trying to get more interns for the station from the community, from UC Berkeley. They have a long list of people at the Daily California who are interested. There's a media department. We've been contacting them. There's also media classes at the community, Berkeley Community College. And so there's a lot of resources to bring in more people so we have more coverage of these very urgent issues taking place here, because I think we saw with the elections that Berkeley and Richmond are working really hard. And I think Andres Soto's work in Richmond as a producer as well as an activist has proved really to be a powerful force. We're in a new era, I think we all know, and we need independent media now more than ever. And I hope that we can cooperate among the different stations to find solutions, the best possible solution. And I know all of you are going to be considering things today, and I really appreciate that there are multiple proposals on the table, that people are looking at multiple ways to solve that. And I know that that's really important, because there's geographical differences, and I think all in our hearts we all have the same passionate desire for independent media, the best that can survive for the network. So I also want to commend you for having dispersing with Robert's Rules of Order. I wish you could do that on the PNB as well, because when I listen to the points of personal privilege and shifting around the agenda for half an hour at a time at meetings on the PNB, that is painful to me. So maybe some of you can take that to the PNB. Thank you. Good luck today.
Great. Thanks, Carol. Carol had to step out momentarily. Next up is Darlene Pratt.
No, I'm just here.
Are you just here? Okay, you're not speaking. Okay. Then next up is Virginia Browning.
Hi. Yeah, thank you, Margie. I really appreciated that, too. And Carol, I appreciate so much Carol Wolfley, that you have worked so hard to get people from interns to help at KPFA. And Andres Soto was on the morning at a good prime time, which was good. I'm really glad that Eileen Alfandari went out and reported on that. I take issue with a lot of the news which is in prime time at KPFA. That's an issue that divides a lot of us, which is that there will be radical stories against so-called humanitarian interventionism that Daniel mentioned on other parts of KPFA, particularly by some of the unpaid staff. And then on the mainstream news, or on the KPFA news, which uses two AP and the other Wire, and now uses FSN, Feature Story News, which is a corporate, rather conservative news source. And news is hard, you know? Okay, I did make news at a place where I worked before. But what Carol's doing, that's why what Carol Wolfley's doing is important, to get interns here to help with that. Anthony, who hasn't been paid, has done incredibly good stories on the weekend news for years. I'm sorry, I just happened to look at you and think of that. But, you know, so as far as these proposals today, they come from people that have supported the paid staff with their feature story news stuff, and people that have tried really hard to get more local news and more diverse news on for years. It's the proposals come from various people. Some of them I probably agree with. Some of them I'm sure I don't agree with. This is a little tiny body, but what's that saying about two good people can make a difference if they really try? The PNB has been stuck for years, so maybe this won't amount to anything. But it has to start somewhere. I believe people in the rest of the network have been spoken to. I believe they'll be spoken with again to try and get on board with some of this stuff too. It's not going to work for it to just come from KPFA. It's a network. It has to be a network-wide thing. It has to be a nationwide, maybe a worldwide thing. People have to get on board with trying to save this network. It put 6,000 paid members in New York, 16,000 down from 20-something thousand at KPFA here. The CFO quit after 2 years of no audits being done. Maybe that was why, maybe that wasn't why. But, there, you know, no national management, really, except interim. There's so many problems.
Thank you, Virginia. Okay. So that is all who has signed up. Is there anybody else who has since come in who wanted to make any comments? Okay, no. All right, so that ends the public comment section. And now we turn to the general manager's report, and you have to send up the microphone because this one doesn't reach. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the general manager report for October, November 2016. We'll start with the state of the station. KPFA has been through hard times before, and as you are all well aware, the last few months have been very stressful financially. Last September, as expected, our financial blues came on full strength. We rang the emergency bell and began crying the "we ain't gonna make it" blues on the air. And once again, our listeners, who never ceased to amaze me, responded with unimaginable generosity and their resounding good spirit. Our listeners, new and old, truly get the message that they have a vital part to play in KPFA staying on the air. Yet again, I must emphasize that we must find other avenues of funding before the goodwill of our listeners dries up. I receive calls and emails daily from supporters who expect us to act like grown-ups, face our fiduciary challenges responsibly in order to put our house on a stable financial standing. We all know full well in the not-too-distant future that we will feel the financial instability again. The uncertainty, anxiety, and frustration will return to ramp up in us the thoughts of our ultimate doom. Even at the best of times, our financial blues are still present, only momentarily out of sight because of our current restraints, Pacifica's debt, no CPB or other outstanding pending grants. We will, and we only get fleeting moments of respite. We also know that we can't survive on fund drives alone. It's no longer enough to simply connect with listeners in a one-dimensional way. It will take imaginative programming, promotions, and increase the visibility to reach and develop new listenership to reach our ultimate goal of stability. Fall Fund Drive 2016. It was quite amazing on several levels. As the attached financial statement shows, we surpassed our stated goal, and fulfillment is nearly at 80%. Notably, 46% of our pledges came through the website during the fall drive. We'd like to continue to drive engagement online by integrating our online communications with our social media platforms. Credit card payment is fast, efficient, and lowers our overall database and fund drive costs. Our next fund drive begins on December 6th and will last for 10 days. 26th election, the aftermath plan. Our goal is to provide listeners with multiple viewpoints of unfiltered information and ideas from thought leaders that they won't hear on corporate media outlets. Also to establish the perception of KPFA as the source for comprehensive election aftermath news, analysis, and information. Our expanded election coverage is showing signs of success already. Folks have been donating online, responding to our soft appeal to continue reporting on the election's aftermath with our singular content in our public affairs programming, news, and KPFA special events. Over $30,000 has been donated since the election. KPFA has the opportunity to be a number of things: influencer, thought leader, connector, and a driver of high-level engagement that other public radio stations aren't courageous enough to be. Let's begin now with this election aftermath to create a new foundation, a powerful communication platform by utilizing all of our online and social media tools to enhance our image. Donald Trump. Needless to say, the energy level at the station is high, and there is discussions that Trump might be good for our bottom line. Folks harbor this belief based on the historic results of 9/11 and the Iraq War, where record-breaking fund drives were recorded. I think that this is dangerous thinking. Trump could easily send us reeling into an economic recession. Less money in the pockets of our listener means less money for them to donate. In my opinion, folks should temper their expectations and concentrate on the one thing we know that works, creating compelling radio programming. Which leads me to this. The first 100 days of the Trump administration, Mitch Jesurith in Washington. 8 years ago, KPFA decided to cover the first 100 days of the Obama administration. What came out of that experiment was our popular show, Letters in Politics. It's been 10 years since Pacifica has had a congressional correspondent, and we're going to seize upon this moment in history to send Mitch back to the Capitol. Mitch will keep tabs on what the Trump administration's political agenda items will be. There is no one better suited for this gig than Mitch, who understands the nuts and bolts of how government works while covering nominations, congressional hearings, the new Congress, etc. Having a KPFA representative in D.C. will also lift Pacifica's image. Mitch will be there for about 3 weeks working out of sister station WPFW. Union negotiations. Under our emergency status back in September, we suspended our negotiations with the union. We will resume our talks on Tuesday. KFCF Gala event. I was honored to be one of the keynote speakers at KFCF's annual gala dinner October 9th. I mentioned in my thank you email to Rich Withers that I envied him. The event was a warm and welcoming evening with a great mix of listeners and patrons and staff. Also in attendance was the station board and foundation members that I found very enthusiastic about supporting KPFA and their station's mission. They also made the hard work of putting together the classy event look effortless. Last but not least, I'd like to make an announcement about on December 3rd at the radio station, there's going to be a dedication to the music library in the name of the late, great jazz critic and writer Phil Elwood. There will be a special that we will run on the air about Phil Elwood's life and career, and folks are welcome to come to the radio station for the plaque presentation. This is, of course, in response to the generous donation that we got from the Elwood family in the beginning of our crisis. That's it for now. It's going to be like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. There'll be a note. There'll be a letter out.
Tim.
Just have a quick question about the music library. Does that mean it's going to, again, be open to music programmers?
Yeah, we're going to open it again and try to reorganize the host situation. We've been wanting to do it for a long time, but this is a grand opportunity to do it.
I've got one already. Here. There. Give it back. I've got one. There we go. Okay. Sasha.
Yeah, thank you for that report, Quincy. I'm just wondering, how much money does Central Services cost us in a given year?
You have to answer that with a microphone.
$500,000.
Okay. And are there any services we get from Central Services that we would then have to provide on our own, and roughly what would that cost?
We don't get many services from Central Services ever since I've been over here for 2 years or more. Well, we don't get them. We pay for our own.
Say that into the microphone, please.
Okay. So we get corporate insurance is about the only thing I could really think of. They pay for our payroll services. However, I've got to be honest, we're paying for services that we're not using for payroll, such as the database. I don't have the database accessible to me. So anything I have to do on an Excel spreadsheet and download. If I need a whole year's worth of something, I have to download 24 spreadsheets and combine them, which
okay,
would
thank
make
you.
My life easier if I could do it.
I guess my basic question about this is, What difference would it make to us in cost if we didn't have
half a million
central
dollars.
Services?
Well, other than the insurance. I don't know what the insurance
roughly,
costs.
Roughly, I mean, $25,000 a year.
Maybe Margie knows how much the insurance is.
Okay, so we don't know the answer.
Okay.
Sharon.
Thanks for the report, Quincy. I'm excited that Mitch is going to be in Washington for 3 weeks, as I understand. But I just would like to raise a point, which is that I do know that Ann Garrison, who's one of the unpaid staff, was invited to go speak at the grassroots conference, and she has made a request, I believe, just for $500 to cover her her airfare. And she was actually specifically asked to speak at the grassroots conference as a keynote speaker, and she presented on doing news at the grassroots conference. And I actually think this is something KPFA should be supporting. And I appreciate that Mitch is going to spend 3 weeks in Washington, but I know that's going to cost money. And I wonder why we can't find a little bit of money for Anne and other people that do stuff on the for the unpaid staff.
Mainly because it's not in the budget.
Okay. There's a rumor, and I don't know. This is what I've heard, that there's something like $5,000 in the budget for unpaid staff.
That's for training. It's not for speaking.
Specific training, as in training unpaid staff to do things?
Training.
Janet.
You can pass a resolution or something and change that next time the budget comes around and try to get some money set aside for those type of things.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this last month, but we didn't have a meeting last month. It was my understanding that since you have been GM for the last 2 years and 4 months, I think, you have held at most 2 staff meetings.
Four.
However, I have been informed by some staff members that you said in an email to the staff sent at the end of September that you have held 4 staff meetings during your tenure as GM. Can you give us the dates of those meetings?
No.
You mean you don't have your calendar available?
I don't have it off the top of my head, no, but I can get them for you if you
okay,
like.
Okay, would you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments about the Anthony? Send him the mic. It's not on.
A listener contacted me and said, "Hey, Voices of Middle East and North Africa is on Fridays now. So I'm curious how that move happened and who's." Moving into the place that the 2 o'clock on Wednesday that VOME is moving out of.
She asked for a change, and we had a slot opening at 11 on Friday, so we thought it'd be a good place for her to be. I don't really know. You'd have to ask the program director what's going to be taking her place.
So
in the old slot, I don't know.
The Bill Fletcher program is disappearing from KPFA.
Yes, it was inconsistent in its delivery, so it had to go.
Okay. Going once. Oh, Joy.
Thank you for your report, Quincy. Several meetings ago, and for a good part of the 2 years, we've been asking for and being promised promotions of other programs in between. And I haven't heard much of it. The most promotion we get is for the morning show on the news. So this is not a cost thing. We were talking about how do we get each program. For example, a good change was the change of the Middle East. It would have been a good promo in her spot to say that it's not her on Friday.
Yeah, there is a promo running.
Oh, there is? Okay. I'll take it back. But I still would like to see.
I understand what you're talking about.
More
keep going. I like your question because
I
can tell
see,
you what's happening.
I want to see more promotion of upcoming things. Almost all stations now give you the next 2 hours, the next 3 hours or something, because radio is so intransitive.
I totally agree with you.
All right.
So,
so you're
going to
do something about that for us.
Let me tell you, I've been wanting to do something about it since the day I took over. But it's a very complicated situation that the way the grid is set up. And finally, there's two things that had to happen. One, the old rule of 60-second promos had to be breaking down to 30 so that we could promote more shows. So you can run two 30s at one time. Second is to get the programmers now to start leaving a 30-second opening on the half an hour. It opens up the grid for us amazingly. So third is to redo the grid. So right now, Dev, myself, and Mike Biggs are breaking it down along with the program director to so that we can correctly promote shows that are coming up so we can really sound like a radio station that actually is telling you what the next show that's coming up in the next hour, things like that. So we'll have default promos that will run automatically describing what your show is about. But if you have something special happening on the show, you can cut a new promo which will take its place saying you have a special guest coming that's going to be on the show. I've been wanting to do this forever, but there's been so many other fires and just the availability to keep ourselves and our doors open has taken precedent. But we're doing it right now. We have started the process and we'll get that going. It will make a world of difference, I think, for everything. To me, most importantly, one of the things that I've always thought when I first got here is how everybody seemed to be in their own silo. You know, there's their show, but there's no show before it, and there's no show after it. And that whole thing is all part of the whole unity things that I was talking about. You have to be talking about, if you're on Hard Knock, you got to say that Dennis is coming, Flashpoint, and they're talking about such and such. It just makes sense. But sometimes things are pre-recorded, I get it. But if you leave us that little space in there, we can drop the Flashpoint promo in, so forth and so on. So I'm real excited about this whole idea. And the availability to get more people involved in cutting promos, talking about themselves, using the website properly to do the same thing at the same time. There's so many areas that we can help promote ourselves and get ourselves out there.
And then finally, on the same line, and I'd like you to come back, even though I won't be here. I'd like you to come back and give us an update on it, and okay. Then I'd like to let it go. And then the other thing is, in the media, on our several of our sites, there are shows missing, so we're not keeping it updated. For example, especially Full Circle for me is not there, and on TuneIn Radio, we're not keeping up with what we're doing, the show grid and all of that. Those things need to be done. And then the last one, a lot of people don't notice, but on cable, radio stations are listed on the end. And people are listening to radio through mm-hmm. the television. Mm-hmm. We need to update that because there's not enough information and the grid is not right. So okay. I would like us to pay more attention to those outreach efforts and bring us more. You're bringing us into the 25th century, but hopefully if we could do more of that because people are getting their sources, hearing us from other places besides just the radio and just the car.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Right. Like one of the staff meetings we had I don't know what the date is, Janet, but we were talking about, we were teaching people how to update their shows because a lot of that has to fall on them because nobody knows what they're doing. So, you know, we don't know what one collective is doing that's on at 3 o'clock in the morning, but it's listed, but it'll just list their show repeatedly without saying what details were going on. So they have to be a part of it. So it's still hard to get other people to get involved in doing that. Mostly it's the people from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., the 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock are really in there actually working their website pages on there. Because you could do so many things on there. Photos, images, I mean, all kinds of stuff. That website is perfect for all this. That's why we spent money on it to get it to so we can do these types of things. So anyway, so it's going to take more of that kind of work to get people fired up, to get more involved in that as well. So I'm looking forward to it, though.
I would just like to suggest that we designate someone to oversee it because this is what happens. We rely on the individual shows, but they don't have resources, and half of them are not even in the building.
Yeah, I know.
So I would like to suggest that we have someone, either a volunteer or someone in the station who would be willing to try to coordinate that effort and not leave it all up to you.
Sharon, okay, you can have the job. You don't want the job.
No, I kind of do. With the idea that... No, I was trying to raise my hand.
I have to get a list here.
Okay.
Barb has been trying to get on the thing.
Okay.
My comment is short. It's kind of adding on to what Joy was saying. I've been trying to listen to some of the KPFB programs, and they're not always on when the grid says they're going to be on. Like, there's nobody minding the store on KPFB, I think, or something.
Well, Deb's in charge of KPFB. He does a pretty good job, but they have people. There's inconsistencies.
Programs are on when they're said they're not going to be. They're going to the wrong day, the wrong hour sometimes. And I have yet to be able to find Jay Michael's show.
Well, I will get on that for you. But, you know, the other thing about B is I think B would be it's a grand opportunity for us to put them on the website where they could be available all the time. And I've been trying to talk some of their people into doing podcasts for us as well. But, you know, it takes a minute.
Sharon.
Just following up on what Joy was saying and what you previously said about the $5,000, it seems like that actually might be a great way to use some of that $5,000 to actually train the unpaid staff about how to do. I mean, I'm just suggesting that, you know, take some of that money to actually engage in a training for people to learn how to put their stuff up on the website. And because, I mean, if you have like a training and maybe offer food, people might come in and I just want to say that I support that in terms of an expenditure.
No, we don't have to pay for it. The website people came and they were there that night to teach people. And the program director, too, is also very well trained at it. So is Miguel. And we have a couple of people there that really know how to do the website thing. So it's just a matter of getting the word out to people to come back in and to refresh their memory about it or just to sit down and start really just doing it.
Janet.
Yeah, two suggestions or recommendations. One is that would it be possible for programmers on their shows to say the date, the day, you know, the month, day, year? Because sometimes programs are replayed in the future and people talk about today or last week or whatever. And so that would be, you know, I think that would be something good. The other thing has to do with some kind of, I don't know what it's called, disclaimer, that programmers state something that, like, this program does not necessarily reflect the position of the station.
You mean like for Guns and Butter?
No, not just that. All the shows in the public affairs shows who have guests and whatever.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for the general manager's report? Going, going, gone. Okay, thank you. Now we're going to move next to the treasurer's report. And is Maria giving that or are you giving it? Both of you. Thank you.
Here, you could pass these this way. Today, most of the treasurer's report is going to be presented by Maria, but I'm going to do a couple little introductory things. One is I just wanted to let you know that the National Finance Committee, is meeting more and more frequently around this time of year because this is the time, in fact, it's an extended time where they're going through the budgets that are being drawn up by stations. And of course, there's somewhat of an unrealistic situation where stations are really hurting for funding. They're not able to pay central services in a timely manner. We've been doing much better than the others. So I have tried in the finance committee to, as I've brought the subject here as well, to say that during this process where we're trying to make budgets, the national board should really be considering some major changes that would facilitate having realistic budgets. And I brought up in the past one about some kind of reorganization of the Pacific Radio Archives. There's a lot of the work that they do that could be done by educational institutions that have facilities for restoring old recordings, and people are resisting even thinking about this. I've heard it discussed that we should get rid of the archives altogether. I don't ascribe to that. I think we should have a wonderful Pacifica Radio Archives library. I think it's fine to have a staff that is there to market these things and to duplicate them when necessary. But the way that it's arranged now is not very efficient. And we've been caught in this, I would say it's a mission creep that's happened when the archives began to be recognized as something to deal with. Anyway, that was a motion I presented in previous meeting of the Finance Committee. This little half sheet that I've passed around now is one I tried to present in the last Finance Committee meeting, but in fact the chair moved declared it out of order since it was not budget-oriented, but I still get to put in the spoken record of the meeting that I think that the PNB needs to be paying attention to some of these ways to do away with or help out on major expenses while we're doing budgets. And so I brought this short it's not a resolution, I didn't say that, it's a motion that I wanted to present to the body here today to see if you will approve us sending this recommendation to the PNB. And I'll read it and the short motivation. The KPFA-LSB recommends that the PNB encourage any station having extreme difficulty meeting necessary expenses, particularly rent payments, to seek a cost-saving relocation within its area to an educational institution with broadcast facilities to share. And my motivation for that is I believe it's timely and necessary during this time of review and approval for 2017 budgets to remind the PNB that there should be concurrent reductions in some key expenses in order to be able to balance realistic budgets.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second? Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there a second? Janet?
So I move to amend the motion to replace seek with consider seeking.
Is there a second? Okay. I'm going to speak against this motion. Craig's going to call on me.
Carol?
Okay. We're going to have a lot of very significant structural motions later today, and I think that we're making big moves on things, and to start talking to stations and raising the issue that we want them to move to educational institutions is a distraction from the bigger picture and doesn't fit well at this moment in time. That's my position. Anthony.
Yeah, I guess we're in discussion, so I have a question. Barbara, do you have any particular station in mind as you wrote this?
Well, the stations, all of the stations are located in communities where there's some kind of educational facility. I said the ones that are having trouble paying rent, and there are a couple that are having severe problems with that.
That would be Washington and New York. Yeah.
Margie, are you
doing some information here, or are you?
I
Okay, Burton. No, Burton, and then Margie.
In light of Carol's remark, I don't want to have this motion go down to defeat, so I would like to move that it be tabled until after the other discussion.
Okay. Any more discussion on that motion? You can't have a discussion on tabling. Okay. All those in favor of tabling, please raise your hand. Okay. I think that's everybody. Anybody opposed? No. Abstention? One abstention, and everybody else is in favor of tabling, including the maker of the motion. Okay.
And now I will turn the treasurer's report over to the business manager. We have the best business manager in the network.
And the best treasurer in the network. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to go back just a moment to Quincy's blue sheet that I passed out. The last page, the attachment. We have an incredible team that works on our fund drives. Laura just works endlessly and tirelessly. Well, tirelessly, that's probably not the right word because she's very tired at the end of a fund drive. But anyway, this fund drive was amazing. If you look at the notes that I kind of put onto the side, our goal was $680,000 in the first 17 days, which were the actual phone days, the actual active phone days. We surpassed the goal by $20,613. When you add the additional days that we leave premiums on the web and stuff, we surpassed the goal by almost $54,000. So it's just incredible. But what is even more incredible is the fulfillment rate. In 12 months' time, we usually average about 86.2% in fulfillment. However, here, 2 months after the fund drive, we're already at 80.8% fulfillment. And all the installments, of course, have not come in. So even if we were to get only half of the installments, which I didn't detail down here, but even if we were only going to get half of the installments, we already would be over 87% fulfillment. So it's just amazing. And Quincy said the fact that we're getting a lot on credit cards. So, yeah, we've got $530,811 came in on credit cards. Of course, there's a small fee for the credit card processing, but when we get stuff by check, there's a fee for processing checks. So six of one, half dozen another. But we get the money for sure, and we get the money now. The other very cool thing is the premiums. It's just almost a 50-50 premiums requested versus non-premium requested. So that means less cost for the station, obviously. And it also indicates to me that people give because they love KPFA, not just because they want to get something. So if hopefully this is, while you're looking at it, you can, you know, see for yourself how this works, you know, acquisitions, renewals, rejoins, what I call frequent flyers, the additional gifts, meaning people who give over and over and over again on fund drives. Certainly a lot of people in this room. Anyway, so that is, and then the fact that we got, again, almost a 50-50 website to roll over. So that saves us money as well. And so I don't know if anybody has any questions on that. I guess so.
Janet.
Yes, hi, thank you. My memory is that for this fund drive, we did not have people in the phone room, right? So there was a reliance on a call center. And so can you tell us how much that cost?
Yeah.
Is that part of this report? I don't see it.
No, it's not. This is just on income.
All right, thank you.
So, yes, the call center cost us money, but so do first of all, let me step back and say that the only reason we did not have a phone room this time is because we had turnover in the team, you know, that Brooke left, and Kevin has stepped in as interim. So there was such a short period of time, that, you know, in terms of learning and turning over the reins and all that kind of stuff, that it just felt too much, too soon, everything came upon us. So for the fall fund drive, we suspended the phone room. It will be back. It's coming back for the December drive. And the cost between the rollover and OACs and all that kind of stuff is just about even. So what the rollover cost were and what the OACs would cost? Oh, I'm so sorry. Off-air coordinator. They're the people in the phone room. The work of the phone room, the temporary.
Right. Can you give us an amount?
It's about $17,000.
Thank you.
But again, it's like it broke just about even.
Can we go on to the?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I do know that time is of the essence here, so this is the long spreadsheet, the financial. This is year end. We're still working on October. And it's just about finished, but I couldn't get information from national office. So this is September year end. This is preliminary. It's unaudited. Things will change. As you know, it's the end of year. So what you see here will not be what you possibly will see at the end. So please keep that in mind. Revenue. The revenue, as you can see, I made notes. That would be row 21. The revenue was better than budgeted by $237,000. Also keep in mind that we had a very successful fund drive in September. It was completely in the month of September. However, the cost for that fund drive comes in October and November, such as premium costs and so on. So you see all the income here, but you don't see the offset of the expenses, the credit card costs, the premium costs, and so on. Of course, comparing it to 2015, we had that, you know, the $400,000 and the $558,000 bequests. So 2015 looks amazing, but it was a little bit skewed because of those. Overall, our operating expenses are under budget, and they're under budget and less than they were in 2015. Our net income is better than budgeted. Again, comparing it to 2015, you're going to see a difference because of those huge bequests. And then the details go on further down. The one thing that is not in here that I've been talking about with the controller at Pacifica is the cost for the election. Since our election was on September 30th, technically it was in fiscal year 16. So I'd like to put those expenses in fiscal year 16 because that's where I budgeted for them. But he and I are kind of going back and forth on that. So I'm not going to go into all of the detail of everything. It's there. If anybody has any questions on them, you know, but I'm just trying to get through this short and sweet. I figured that that very last little section, community events summary, a lot of people always have questions on that. So I just did a summary there as to how the community events work for us in terms of income versus expenses. And you could see they're making money. And not only just from the actual events, but they also bring in premiums that are very inexpensive and people seem to love. So so that's it.
Okay. Craig, Sasha,
Jana. One small item. I think it's column Q, line 43, should be 7.14. There's a comma there.
Yeah, I guess
okay.
So. Sorry.
So, and I'm just curious how the...
Oh, No, if you really look at the, it's a $287,000 increase. So, in other words, we expected net income of $4,005, but we came in at almost $292,000.
Right. No, it's just the next column over. It's
right,
seven.
Right.
Yeah, seven
but if
comma.
You,
yeah.
But if
okay.
You, do the math. It's,
right.
It's huge.
Okay, that's great. And I, since you mentioned the community events, I'm just wondering how the Crafts Fair is shaping up this year.
That's good. Crafts Fair is going to be December 18th and 19th this year. And so far, so good. We're hoping to still score somewhere around, I don't know, somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 out of it. It's a clean event for us now since Jan went independent and stuff. So basically we just have the door and we like that. And, you know, so it's less expensive and stuff for us. So it's been working out fine. So this is the big one. And, she's overbooked and I think it's going to be great.
Sasha?
You have to have a microphone.
The dates you said, the 18th and 19th, it's the 17th and the 18th. And in fact, everybody here should note that we have an LSB meeting on that first day of the Crafts Fair. So you all have to plan to go Sunday.
Okay. Thank you. Sasha.
So I've been hearing about our major donor money being dramatically down, and I haven't been able to attend meetings, or at least not in person. I think I did one by phone the last time around. But in any event, I didn't realize how dramatically it was down. And I'm wondering, and this might be more for Quincy than anything, but can you fill us in a little bit on, are you getting feedback from people? I know I've heard various things about why it's down and so forth, but this is huge. I mean, this is, you know, it's almost non-existent compared to what it was. Let me see if I can pull up the figure here. It's line 11.
Yeah, it's line 11, row, column N-O-P.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's almost $1 million down.
Oh,
so,
well, from 2015?
From 2015.
Okay, but look at the footnote I have down there. That
what
was
footnote?
The year that we got the $958,000 bequest, or two bequests. That was very unusual for 2015.
Oh, okay.
We got the $400,000 and the $558,000. But regardless, from budget, year after year, we pulled it out of the hat, you know, the major donor money. 2016 was not so good for that. 2017, I didn't budget. I'm sorry, I did not bring the 2017 budget, but I did not budget like that. So if it comes, it'll be just good for the bottom line, but it's not budgeted that way anymore.
Nevertheless, is there any sense for how this is going? I mean, are there conversations with major, you know, what's the feedback?
Well, here's the deal. Since I got there, from what my understanding is, there were people that were working on legacy stuff before I got there, and all that work has probably petered off by now. One of the first things that I did when I got there was get on the phone and call a bunch of lapsed major donors. And the answer was no, because they thought the money was going to be taken by Pacifica. So I had to find a new technique for this. What we do is I went into the database with Chris and stuff, and we kind of found these people we call consistent donors at a high level, above $500 and above. So my job is to become very friendly with these people and to talk to them and to be on a very conversational basis with them so I can try to develop them into major donors again. But I must say that they have come in very handy and have been very successful for us. When we fell into the crisis in September, one of the first things I did was we got the list of the consistent donors and we wrote them a letter. And we say, hey, here's what's happening. And how much money did we get that first couple of weeks? 36, 30 something thousand dollars came in from those letters. I mean, so that's the kind of technique you have to use to try to develop new major donors. It's a slow process, but that's what we're doing. Since we don't have a development director, that's like part of my job. So I have to be doing a lot more of that. So that's where we are with it.
Janet.
Yeah, thank you. Well, first, there was reference to $958,000 bequest in 2015, the total. One of them, the $400,000 one, was a bequest to Pacifica, not to KPFA, so it shouldn't even be included in the revenue, KPFA's revenue for 2015. So I'd like to know what is the bank balance, and then I also would like to know who the signatories are on the bank account.
The signatories right now is just Quincy and Michael. Michael Yoshida, sorry, thank you. The bank balance, I can't get into the system. It's not letting me in right here, so I can't. I'm only going by memory. Our bank balance is like $212,000 or something like that. Pardon me?
I said, yeah.
Oh, okay. And I just paid a bunch of bills, so including central services, where I want to note that everybody note that KPFA is completely up to date with the central services for Pacifica National, okay? No money is being held. We actually, they owe us because of billbacks, as we call them, which is intercompany stuff, stuff we paid for them. So the signature, oh, and then regarding the $958,000, corporate office is the controller over there, you know, we haven't gotten any official notice. I beg to differ, but that's a whole other argument and conversation. And maybe the auditors can bring some light to it. So, anyway, that's
okay.
That's it.
Sasha?
So roughly how much does Pacifica owe us? That would be my first question, and then I have another one.
You know what? I'm sorry. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's in the tens of thousands. Yeah. So,
$2 million.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. So let me, there is something on the balance sheet that in 2006, when Pacifica moved here from Washington, D.C., I believe, they borrowed money from KPFA. They borrowed $1.4 million total. Okay. So in 2006, all of a sudden that $1.4 million that was owed to KPFA was swept under the rug by one journal entry that said, oh, so on the balance sheet, you have current assets and then you have long-term assets. You have long current receivables, long-term receivables. And they swept it under the rug by taking it from a current receivable, meaning it's owed to us, to a long-term receivable, and nobody ever spoke about it again. Just one journal entry.
Well, you're
one
speaking. So.
Pardon me? Oh, I'm speaking, yeah. I mean, it's there. It's in there in the financials. But so anyway, nobody talks about it. Nobody ever talked about paying KPFA back. So that's true. If we really look at it, they are that's short of $2 million, let's say. Maybe not quite.
So I'm sorry. So this expense occurred in 2006 or in 2006 it was swept under the rug?
In 2006 it was swept under the rug.
When is it back to?
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's see. Does anybody know, maybe Barbara can answer this, how the other stations are doing with their central services?
Poorly.
Well, I mean, I know that, but I'm
okay.
I'm asking
you ask
if we could be a bit more specific.
I can't give you specifics, but we get reports in the finance committee of who's up to which month and that sort of thing. It's gone downhill significantly as far as the income coming to the national office since we haven't had CPB money for quite a while. That has also aggravated this problem. But they're having difficulty in their fundraising as well.
I do have a figure though. For all of the stations for just fiscal year 16, just 1 year, Pacifica is owed in bill backs, which means like medical insurance and stuff like that, and central services, $500,000.
All right. If we're about done with this, we have a time certain on the thing. So can we wind this up?
Can I have one more question?
It's kind of speculative.
You're always welcome to come talk to me. You know that.
Well,
go ahead. This is actually probably more for Quincy. So in our new presidential catastrophe.
Is this a treasury report?
It has to do with CPB money. Yeah. Okay. I've been thinking about that. I'd be willing to bet there will be no support of any public stations the moment Donald Trump and his buddies realize what's going on, that there is CPB money, et cetera. Anybody? No, I mean, I've been thinking about it.
I want to have some order here because we're trying to get
perspective on that from your position.
You've got to use that. Okay. All right.
I'm just worried about it, just like you are.
Unless there's another question on the treasurer's report, we're going to move to the bylaws because we have a time certain, and then we'll take a break. How's that? Make sense? All right. Jana, do you want to motivate this?
Well, we need to adjourn to a delegate assembly.
I've always had questions about that, but sure. Well, we now adjourn and recess. We're not adjourning. We're recessing our KPFA LSB. And we are convening the delegate assembly of KPFA. And so the first item on the agenda is the bylaw that are before us. Janet, you want to report this?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Okay, point of... A question for whom?
As I understand it, as a delegates' assembly, there is no one present today who needs to be excused, right?
Correct.
We are all the LSB members are...
Yes.
Thank you.
And I have a question.
Yes.
So we're going to do the bylaws, and then are we going to do the election of the delegate? Or if we don't, then...
Yes.
So we'll do that after this. Okay.
Yes, but we're going to take a break.
Oh, and then we'll come back
to
that.
Yes, and do the election.
Okay.
And then we'll do the crisis. Okay?
Okay, great.
All right.
So... This is the second ballot of the bylaws amendment process. The bylaws allow for more than one, and so we had the first one back in the spring, I think. So in any case, there were three proposed bylaws amendments that the PNB voted on September 29th, and two of them were approved. The process from that point on is that the delegates from all the stations vote on the ones that were passed by the PNB, and in order for either of those to be approved, they require approval by at least three of the five delegate assemblies. And so I can talk about each one, shall I? Or okay. So we should do one at a time. And
Janet?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just point out, not everybody has a copy of these proposed bylaws amendment. There is one per table, so we have to share. Okay. Does everybody have copies? Okay. We've got it. Okay. You're sharing. Bill and Burton are sharing. That's good. Okay.
Okay. And these have been online since, I think, August 15th. And also, I sent out links to them several times over the months and this past week. In any case, okay. So the first one, and this requires... These are not motions, so this is this body votes on each of these, and it needs to be roll call vote. Okay, the first one, amendment to change frequency of delegate elections and term of delegates. So this is an amendment to change, proposed amendment is an economy measure. So from 2 out of every 3 years, 4 elections in 6 years, to every other year in odd-numbered years, 3 elections in 6 years. This would also avoid conflicts between Pacifica elections and national elections. It would change the term from 3 years to 4 and the term limit from 6 years to 8. This will begin with the 2019 election and continue with the 2021 election. The election scheduled... The election scheduled for 2018 will be held under the old bylaws provision for a 3-year term to establish the pattern of elections in odd-numbered years commencing in 2019 and 2021. Note, this would have no impact on the term length or term limit of people elected in the 2015 election. It would be phased in, and it would also have no impact on the 5 consecutive term limit on directors.
Do I have a motion to accept? Okay. Well, we got to vote. We're going to vote.
Yes, right.
We're going to vote.
Motions can be amended. So this is a straight out vote.
Okay, so, Janet, how would you like me to say it? I'm asking
the,
you.
I call for the vote. Thank you.
All right. All right. I call for the vote. All right. Any more discussion?
What are we voting on?
She just read it. Okay. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Now we're going to do a roll call vote. Okay, let's go.
Okay, everybody clear? This is on the frequency of elections and the terms. Okay, Adams?
Yes.
Adams says yes. Alderson, I'm going to abstain. Campisi? Campisi abstains. Fest?
No.
Fest, no. Fuentes not here. Oops. Futrin.
Pass.
Futrin passes. We'll come back to you. Gottesman?
Abstain.
Gottesman abstain. Goen not here. Hernandez not here. Jacobs?
Abstain.
Jacobs abstain. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. David Lynch not here. Tim Lynch?
Yes.
Tim Lynch, yes. Moore?
Abstain.
Moore abstain. Oops. Gotta write that. I need to sit up so I can write this properly. Yeah. Morgan, not here. Olson, not here. Sawyer, not here. Scruggs, not here. Sterling, not here. Tao Nichols, not here. Travis.
Oh, God.
You'll pass. We'll come back to you. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White? White abstain. Wilkinson?
Abstain.
Wilkinson abstain. Okay, Withers is not voting. Okay, so coming back to Futrin.
Abstain.
Futrin abstains. And Travis?
So, Janet, if there are a majority of abstentions and a lot of yeses, or some yeses, is that passed?
Okay,
no,
so may I respond? Yeah. So actually, I should have included that for the delegates to approve any of these, it requires a majority of the total number, which is 13, to approve.
An absolute majority.
So I'll abstain.
So Travis abstains. Okay. Okay, so that's a total of 4 yes, One no, correct. Thank you. And 9 abstentions. So it fails.
Next.
Okay. And by the way, Craig, would you please email me the tallies, just not the names, but the tallies for each one, so I can include it in the final report. Thank you. Okay. The second one is to replace one LSB town hall with an LSB fundraiser. Oh, I don't have that in front of me, but does somebody have? Yeah, I don't have that in front of me.
Article 7, Section 3H.
This bylaws amendment was proposed in the past but failed. Recently, with the financial situation, some local station boards have been trying to help fundraise by asking individual LSB members to donate or fundraise and perhaps even sanction those who don't. Our boards are not designed to operate like traditional boards, where board members are chosen by how much money they can bring to the organization. This is a model which leads to the 1% controlling the entity. Per the bylaws, one of the specific powers and duties of our LSB, the body itself, not individual LSB members, is to assist in station fundraising activities. In addition, another one is to conduct town hall-style meetings at least twice a year, devoted to hearing listeners' views, needs, and concerns. And so I'll just add, when it comes to KPFA, I can't remember when the last time was that there was any town hall. However, with this bylaws amendment, the LSB as a body would be charged with fundraising at an LSB town hall.
I am now going to take the vote, and it is by roll call. If there's any, is there a discussion? Anthony wants to discuss it. Pass it to Anthony. Janet, the mic to Anthony. Thank you.
I think that we, as the LSB, of course, can and ought to arrange and engage in fundraising activities, but I don't see that it needs to be written into the bylaws, so I'm going to vote no.
All right. Any other comments or discussion, questions? Seeing none, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Adams?
Abstain.
Adams abstains. Alderson, I abstain. Campisi? Campisi abstains. Fest?
No.
Fest, no. Fuentes, not here. Futren? Futren stepped out. Okay, so she's not voting. Gottesman? Gottesman, no. Gowen, not here. Hernandez, not here. Jacobs?
Abstain.
Jacobs, abstain. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. David Lynch, not here. Tim Lynch?
Abstain.
Oops. Tim Lynch, abstain. Moore?
Go out on a limb and say yes.
Okay. That radical Moore votes yes. Morgan, not here. Olson, not here. Sawyer, not here. Scruggs, not here. Sterling, not here. Teo Nichols, not here. Travis?
No.
Travis, no. Whipperman?
Abstain.
Whipperman, abstain. White?
Following my leader, Moore, yes.
Okay, White, yes. Wilkinson?
No.
Wilkinson, no. And that's it. So it is 3 yes, 4 no, 6 abstentions, and it fails.
Janet, next. Give Sharon, give. That's it? Okay. All right. We are now going to break for 15 minutes, and then we'll come back in the delegates' assembly to do the election of the PNB person, and then we'll go into the crisis discussion. Okay. Please be back at 12:30. Thank you.